Shalom, damn it. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm so excited to be here in the radio station. Now, normally, when I'm on this program, I talk about things related to Zion, because I am, of course, a Zionist. But tonight, I am a Sionist. Get it? Because I have a Sion who's a pianist. I know this makes absolutely no sense to you at all, but we're going to make sense of it because this giggling little ninny in the studio with me. No, she's adorable. Please welcome Sarah Sally Sion something. What the hell is... I don't even know your name. What's your name?
All right, well, we met at the publicity summit.
This is true. We scaled Mount Summit together.
And I was immediately drawn to your wonderful energy and presence, and I said... Rabbi, I must be on your show. Please have me on your show.
And I brought her to the casting couch, and the rest is history. She's still scratching from the fleas and the old soup stains on it. I've got to change my casting couch. It's really horrible. Like, it Levitt's. It was on sale many, many years ago. So, okay, wait, is it Sarah or Sally or what? Shmuel, what is your name?
All right, well, I started off for 40 years of my life being Sarah Jane Sion, the jazz pianist.
Uh-huh.
And I made my career as a jazz pianist. I moved from Boston in 1991 and I've been doing gigs all around the world ever since. However, last year I wrote a book, and it is called The Daughter-in-Law Rules, 101 Surefire Ways to Manage and Make Friends with Your Mother-in-Law. Now, because nobody could pronounce my name and my husband wanted a certain amount of anonymity, I chose a name that I thought would be good for the book, something sort of that everybody could relate to, that everyone, you know, would be sure not to mispronounce. So I chose Sally Shields as my pen name for the Daughter-in-Law Rules book.
Could have chosen Yitzchak, easy enough.
I could have.
Or female Yitzchak. Could have worked. No, but Sally Shields for the book,
yes.
And for the CD and the music, Sarah Jane Sion. You're right, Sally Shields is a little... it's like you're the sister of Brooke and Dress. So I like some of your piano music, though, and some of the jazz stuff. Who are your influences musically, besides, of course, Rabbi Moshe Kutsevitsky?
Okay, well, my first influence and greatest influence was Bill Evans. And then, of course, there...
He's on Eyewitness News. What the... How are you influenced by him? You do the... Is that like your theme?
Well, when I was 14 and I had my first jazz piano teacher, he said, my prerequisite is that you have to go out and get the album Kind of Blue by Miles Davis.
This is true.
And when I heard this album, there were two pianists, Bill Evans and Wynton Kelly. And when I heard Bill Evans, I said, I must play like this. And I started transcribing off the albums, and thus began my career.
My favorite album is Kind of Jew by Seymour Shimon and the Polka Dots. It was a marvelous little album. I don't wish I knew where it was. It was actually, it was recorded. There were only 6 copies made on tinfoil. But when we played, oh, it was good. It was good stuff, let me tell you. So, all right, so it was Miles Davis was there, the main influence there.
Yes.
So what made you think you could write a book?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Rabbi, because I actually didn't. What happened was when I realized I was having problems with my mother-in-law, some of you may remember the book The Rules for Dating. It was called Time-Tested Secrets for Capturing the Heart of Mr. Right. Now, I had actually did these rules on my husband, and they worked like a charm. He still thinks I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread, but don't...
If only he knew.
Yeah, don't tell him. But anyway, they worked so well that I called the ladies who had written this book, and I said, you know, you help all these people marry the man of their dreams. Now where's the rule book for how to deal with their mother?
Well, is his mother really especially difficult, or is, my people might say, bitchy?
Yeah.
You can say it. Oh, why was she's so terrible? Because I know she's listening now.
Oh, my gosh. I love my mother-in-law. But here's the thing. I was making so many mistakes. Everything I did seemed to be a mistake, and there was a criticism here, and she'd come over, and she'd say, your house is a disaster, or I like your hair the other way. And I just thought, you know, there's got to be some magic technique for dealing with mothers-in-law. So what I did was, when the rules ladies told me, that's the greatest idea we've ever heard. You know, we're going to actually check with our editor. And they came back to me and they said, well, our editor's really busy at the moment, but you know what? You should write this book. And I thought to myself, you know, by golly, I will.
So to give a flavor, an example of what you're trying to say, see, I didn't get along with my mother-in-law till very, very late, basically after she died. And then we got along fantastically well because she was much quieter, which is nice. And she didn't really even smell all that different. So it was kind of nice out there. But this gives suggestions on how to deal with difficult mothers-in-laws. Yeah. Send thank you notes to your MIL. It's M-I-L, I guess, without the F on there, which means something completely different there.
No
matter what the gift, make sure you send your MIL a handwritten note to express your appreciation, preferably in Hebrew. They would love that in Hebrew. But just in case she says, whatever you do, don't send me thank you cards. We're family. A simple phone call will suffice. Of course, if you ever tried calling a relative, you're on the phone for 45 minutes just to say hello.
That's why one of my rules is, if you're super busy, make sure you aim for getting her machine, like when you know she'll be at bingo.
Oh, this is brilliant. I like this. What are some of the other suggestions? Because I really, I normally read from right to left, and this is very difficult for me. Yeah.
All right. Something that you can do is that you want to call your mother-in-law. As a daughter-in-law, you want to call and establish a relationship with her apart from the one that you have with your husband. Who likes it when their husband's on the phone with his mother, and at the end of the conversation, he'll thrust the phone and say, here, talk to my mother.
No one
likes this. Okay? So what I suggest to my readers and listeners is that you pick a day, such as Wednesday, and you call your mother-in-law, and you just for a short chat and tell her, ask her how she's feeling, but you really want to establish this relationship independently of the one that you have with your husband. And she'll really appreciate that. It's sort of bonding with her on a girlfriend level.
Did you become buddies with your mom-in-law?
I'll put it to you this way. I turned her from my biggest advocate into my number one fan. And now she carries my CD around in her purse. She brags about me to her friends. Whereas before, she was, very critical and all of this.
Oh, you mean adversary, not advocate. She was she was against you.
Yes, she was a naysayer.
Ooh.
And now she is a fan. Because of my rules. I've done my rules. So I thought that maybe I could help save other young wives years of needless contention.
But the thing is, you're not asking them to go halfway. You're going like 99.7% of the way. It's true. You're not building a bridge and meeting in the middle. You're just going, okay, I'm going to build this bridge on the River Kwai and go all the way to her, and whatever she wants, she gets.
Well, put it to you this way. I did what didn't work for about 10 years. And then I decided, well, let me try this. It started off sort of as a tongue-in-cheek coping mechanism. And when I saw that these rules started to actually work and her attitude started to shift towards me, I thought, aha. Now, for example, she'd come over with the whole, your house is a disaster. So one of my rules was, preemptively tell her, oh, Mom, my house is such a disaster. I'm going to sign up for one of those home improvement shows like Designer's Challenge or What's With That House. And, of course, the next thing out of her mouth is, oh, honey, you've got so much to do. Your house looks just fine. And I thought, aha, now I'm no psychiatrist, but I think there's a little bit of reverse psychology involved here. So basically, the basis of these rules, Rabbi, is what I based it on was the seventh spiritual law of success, which is the quickest way to get what you want is to help others get what they want. So when you really stop to listen to your mother-in-law and see what it is that she's concerned about and some of the things that she's thinking about, and you sort of tailor your responses and let her know that you are really sort of thinking about the things that she's concerned about, that will go such a long way. And it only takes a little bit of effort and some training and some patience. And I believe that everybody can turn around their relationship with their mother-in-law.
So essentially, if you can lance a hemorrhoid and relieve constipation, you're very, very far into the changing the whole relationship around. I think that's marvelous. I think that's wonderful. Let's get back to the music for a moment.
All right.
So was that making that music a career for several years? What was that like? Was that really tough? Was it just a natural thing for you, or what?
It was just a natural thing for me. I did my first gig when I was 14 years old, and it was funny because I used to joke that only the octogenarians would hire me. I used to play for a group called Hot Fudge, and it was sort of a Dixieland group back in Boston. And then, of course, there was another group, the Artie Barsamian Orchestra, and he was also 80. And it's kind of funny because now that I've had my children and I'm sort of traveling the world less, and I used to play in New York City 3 to 7 nights a week, and now, of course, I don't want to be out late with my kids. So the people that call me are octogenarians. I have two people that are calling me for gigs, and they're wonderful. One is Dr. Lynn Christie, and I play once a month at the Watercolor Cafe in Larchmont. And the second wonderful musician that I play with is, I'm having a senior moment.
Not that wonderful. I can't remember his name. He might have died in the space between your thoughts here. These guys are not around for so long. Get paid
God.
In advance with these people.
Rabbi, I don't know why my mind is blanking out right now.
I do that to people.
It'll come to me. It'll come to me.
So do you listen to other kinds of music besides jazz, or is that really a mainstay of what you listen to and are influenced by?
It is the mainstay of what I listen to and what I'm influenced by. However, there's such a wide range of what people call jazz, which is why I always find it interesting when people come up and they say, I don't like jazz, but I really like your jazz. And I think, you know, they must have in their mind somehow categorized what they think is jazz, because it's almost like saying, I don't like food, because there's so many different types of jazz that, you know, it boggles the mind.
Well, I have to say, I don't like the modern kind of jazz with the horns and the things on the Light FM and the crap with the, yeah. Who's that bald Jewish guy? He's Jewish, so I like him. But
Michael Brecker?
Him too. Well, no, Kenny G with a thing, oh, God. Which is, G is for this long Jewish name, so I can't hate him because he is of the tribe, but I hate him. Oh, God, do I hate him.
Well, that believe it or not, in the jazz world, Kenny G is not considered jazz musician.
Thank you.
No, he's definitely...
He's considered the Antichrist.
Yeah. No. He's more considered, you know, smooth jazz.
Well, it's jazz. There it is. There's the word.
They use that word, smooth jazz, to pull you in and suck you in and make you think that it's jazz, but it really isn't, according to purists.
I don't know about the Michael Brecker stuff and the who's the guy with the fuzzy hair and the Brillo and the not Jewish. He used to have the Saturday Night Show on NBC. Oh, you know, always with the trumpet with the horn and the thing and the... White guy with a horn.
I was going to say Branford Marsalis.
No, not unless he's having an operation.
Oh, gosh, I can't think of it right now. I'm, you know, since I had my two children, brain cells.
Well, how old are these kids now?
Six and...
And stop banging the table, damn it!
Six and two.
The machines in here are 465 years old. They're almost as old as the Torah in this radio station. You hit anything, and it not only explodes, but the building next door explodes. It's very delicate. So just see. So it's 2 and 6-year-old kids. This is marvelous. Are you going to have any more or none or what?
No. When I, you know, the second time I told the doctor, you know, while you're down there, just tie my...
Thank you for sharing.
Listen, I'm 41 years old. I don't need another pregnancy or another baby. I'm perfectly blessed, and I have a boy and a girl, and I'm very, very happy.
Well, Mazel, this is wonderful. I mean, one day you might be a mother-in-law, too.
Yes. Yes.
But the problem is, if somebody tries your psychology on you, what are you going to do? You're going to know what they're doing.
Well, that's the beauty of it all. No, but hopefully, hopefully I will be able to, be as wonderful a mother-in-law as my son will marry. You know what I'm trying to say.
No, I have no idea what the hell you're talking about. Much better you should play some music. We're going to listen to some lovely tube-tying music from Sarah Jane Sion, but not before she tells us about her website and where to get her book and her music and all these good things.
Thank you so much, Rabbi. Okay. Well, basically, if you go to sarahjanesion.com, you'll see my website and all of my music. And if you need to spell it, S-A-R-A-H, Jane, J-A-N-E, Sion, Cion.com. Now, for the book, I've created another website, and that is www, as Rick Frischman likes to say.
I like that. Dub.
The DIL, which stands for daughter-in-law, the DILrules.com. And we've got a contest going on, a ton of free bonus gifts. I've got some free music downloads, a lullaby CD album, a jazz album called Cruisin', which is currently being played on the daytime ABC drama All My Children.
Oh, boy.
We've got a free newsletter that if you sign up for, you'll get a copy of the 44 Top Tips Cheat Sheet, and you can get started making friends with your mother-in-law right away.
Well, when do you sleep? When do you have time to do all this?
In the 1 hour of free time I have after my kids go to bed, I rush to my computer and type.
Good for you. Good. I don't even have time to pee. Uh-oh. Oh, boy. All right, we're going to get to the music really quickly now. Oh, I'm so sorry about that, but I am not sorry in the least that we have had the lovely and delightful and talented Sarah Jane Sally Siong Simkovitz here in the neighborhood. Thank you. God, blessings to you. Blessings on your children, your family, and all your projects.
Thank you, Rabbi. I'm so honored to be here, and I haven't laughed this hard in weeks, and I'm just absolutely thrilled.